you won't hear any negativity from me. Welcome to 96.5 The Fan on a Friday. I can be your teddy bear. I can be your shoulder. Or, because Mac is a jerk, he puts in our script, it's time to call Dusty out for being overly confident. So I will lean into it.
Come on now.
I will lean into it.
There's no reason to call you out for having some faith in the boys in blue.
Might be because of this.
I told you all on September, whatever it was, 9th, that the Royals would 100% be in the playoffs. I'm telling you today, on October 10th, 2024, the Royals will win tonight.
You know what's interesting about that, though? Seriously.
Yeah.
What's interesting about that? That date that you gave at the beginning, play that again.
I told you all on September, whatever it was, 9th.
Stop. It's the last time they won at home.
Mm. Wow. Jeez, what was it, 9 home games?
They have not won at home since September 9th. The date that... I'm not trying to laugh at that, but that was really funny. I saw it last night. I didn't realize it had been since September 9th that the Royals had not won a game at home. So you may have jinxed them there, just like the guy was blaming me on Twitter for jinxing Stanton or whatever last night. Too,
and it is what it is. Like, I admit when I'm wrong. Bob Fesco has been doing this for 25 years. I've been doing it for 25 minutes, and he said this.
The team that can squeak out 1, 2, 3 runs max, I think, is the team that wins. 10-9 final, probably.
Yeah. 10-9 final. That's right, yeah. So we'll lean into
usually that's the way it works, right? You make these grandiose predictions.
That's right.
What's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. And then it goes the other way. It's like, just when you think you got it figured out, you don't have it figured out, right?
But that's the glorious part about radio that I've learned in my short stint of doing this, is that not only are we here for you, whether you want to agree with us, whether you want to disagree with us, however it is, we're here to be a forum for you to listen to. And I'm not going to hide behind it. Last night was emotional for a lot of you, a lot of us. We are the flagship station for the Kansas City Royals. We put a lot of, you know, I don't want to say blood, sweat, and tears, because that ain't fact.
No.
But we do put a lot of time, watch a lot of baseball, and at some point, I think that, you know, as we try to be relatable to you all, we kind of feel what you feel, right? Like, there's a lot of emotion last night. It started off, Bob was there, Mac, you were there, I was there. It was electric. Everybody was still booing Jazz Chisholm.
Which is great. We're going to get into that as the morning rolls on, but he's the perfect heel.
And I think that, and he is, because you can boo him all you want, but he's smiling with champagne-stained clothes leaving Kansas City.
Yes, he is.
And I want to start off with one, what a season it was. The ship has officially sunk on October 10th.
And you know what? If that's going to happen in a season like that, I'll take that ship sinking on October 10th. Yeah. You got us to October and played good baseball and got everybody excited again, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I'll tell you this. Like, you can get mad, and again, you have the opportunity here later on in the 6 o'clock hour to absolutely lean into it. Maybe it's a new bit we'll do on the show called What You Dislike with Likens. If you want, that's fine. I'll be
that
here for
be
you.
Very long.
That might be. It might be. But I do want to start off with what I took away from last night and this season. Kansas City, pat yourself on the back if you're one of these people that rode this ship all season long. For those of you that, like, I didn't get to follow the team because I couldn't watch. It's not your time. But Kansas City, as of last night, is officially a baseball town again.
It's back, baby. It's back.
It's officially a baseball town. It is 100%. People are going to be excited for this team next year. And I want to kind of take you through this little process that I put together last night, sitting on my patio, listening to Vern's postgame show, and being in that locker room, seeing the emotions from these athletes that pour their blood, sweat, and tears into a season.
Yep.
Because there was a lot of tears in that locker room last night. There was a very big image in my mind that I saw, because those of you that want to know, when we go into the locker room, it's very morbid, very down. And one thing that I noticed was that at their little dinner table that they have, it was a full table. It was kind of like a Last Supper type of scene. They all ate their dinner together. There were some smiles. There were some tears. There were some hugs. There were some handshakes. And this season, To give it a comparison, to the other team that shares the parking lot for now in this city,
It reminded me of that 2018 season.
Get ready for
season.
News on that soon, too.
And when the Chiefs lost to the New England Patriots and Tom Brady in overtime, Mahomes' first year, his MVP year, the 50 and 5,000, they got beat in one of the biggest games that Kansas City had been a part of in a very, very long time in football season.
It was the biggest, probably, game that anybody has ever experienced right. in Kansas City.
And from what I could hear on that postgame show with Vern, and what I could hear from the people leaving the stadium, it felt a lot like that game. Like you put a lot of time and effort and belief into that team, and you were broken. You were shattered into a million pieces. And I know I've said this 100 times. Sometimes in life, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a job, whether it's a move, sometimes it doesn't go the actual way that you want to, and it breaks you to 100 pieces, and you have to build yourself back up even stronger, and you come back even stronger. I've said that a ton of times. And that's what I think is going to happen with this team. You got to the ALDS, and you played the Yankees, the evil empire, the big bad Yankees. Just like when the Chiefs lost, they lost to the evil empire, the New England Patriots at the time. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say the Royals are going to come back next year and win the championship like the Chiefs did, but you have belief in your team, in the Royals, that next year there will be more respect, there will be more expectations, there is going to be more of a name-branded Royals team. Like, it won't be the 30-1 odds to win the World Series. Bobby Witt Jr. will be a top three, maybe top two candidate to win MVP of Major League Baseball next year. But that was the first real year you saw promise in those Chiefs. This was a year where you saw promise in your Kansas City Royals. Then what happened to those Chiefs? They have been champions ever since. They have been a force to be reckoned with in the MLB ever since that year. And again, I'm not saying that a World Series win is going to happen next year, but the Royals have arrived, and they will be respected next year because of what they did this year. It was a hell of a season. It ended in the playoffs. You played baseball competitively until October 10th, and I thought Vinny Pasquantino said something really good last night.
Well, let's kind of talk about the two teams yeah. here for a second. We can get to the athletes a little bit later on, because I think this is a day of us and you guys as well. Kind of just sharing your thoughts and dreams and hopes and whatnot about this team, because this was a team that nobody went into the beginning of the season with any expectation for. And I think as I was leaving that game last night, I had the same feeling about the Royals as I did about the Chiefs when they lost that game to Patrick Mahomes or to Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. I left that game going, oh, well, that was a fun season. We enjoyed ourselves and we kind of got ourselves back onto the map. And I walked out of there wondering, I hope this is not the high watermark for either, Patrick Mahomes or the Kansas City Chiefs. I hope this is just the beginning. And that was kind of the feeling last night, leaving that game, kind of thinking to myself, okay, I hope this isn't the high watermark. I hope this is just the beginning of where we're going with this organization. And that's the way everybody should feel right now, because this was a surprise year. For most people, they didn't really start watching the Royals until the postseason. And that's fine. I mean, you go into a season with expectations of not doing a whole heck of a lot. And as a baseball season goes along, you start to get good. You start to develop some continuity. You start to win some games. You start to surprise some people. And people are still thinking, okay, let me see what happens. Let me see what happens. Let me see what happens. And then all of a sudden you wake up and the team's in the playoffs and they're playing great playoff baseball. They won a series just like, the Chiefs did, kind of got the monkey off their back by beating the Indianapolis Colts that year. And then this year we beat the Baltimore Orioles and kind of, moved on and got a postseason win for the first time in 9 years. And they've kind of separated themselves from everybody else now in Royals lore that they have postseason success. And you have to kind of take baby steps before you can go to the top. The 14 Royals, 15 Royals, that was spoiled city. And I was walking out with some people last night. They're going, I'm not used to this. We're not used to losing like this. This isn't what it's supposed to be like. And I'm thinking to myself, no, this is kind of exactly what it's supposed to be like. When you're a team that's on the come and you're building and building and building and building, you are going to take those baby steps. You didn't really see the baby steps last year when they were losing 106 games, just like you really didn't see a lot of the baby steps until Patrick Mahomes took over as quarterback of this organization and led them to that, that championship run that we're currently in the middle of, right? Or the beginning of, I don't know, however you want to look at it. And that's kind of where the Royals are right now. They took us on a hell of a ride this season. They won games. They challenged all season long. They played really good baseball for the majority of the season. They got into the playoffs. They won a series. And then they lost what I think has been the best series so far, a competitive, hard-fought series against the New York Yankees. And the Yankees are going to leave Kansas City this morning at about 11 o'clock, and they're going to take a couple of days off, and they're going to go, you know what? We really had to work to beat the Kansas City Royals. We really had to go out there and bust our ass. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that the Yankees are going to face a competitor in the Guardians or the Tigers that's going to give them fits like the Kansas City Royals did. And I sat there with my 13-year-old daughter last night, and she kept saying, I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's done. I think it's done. I'm like, it ain't over till it's over. This team, the Royals, have shown that they are not going to give up, and they are going to fight to the last at bat, to the last out, and they're going to challenge everybody, and they don't care who you are. Just like the Chiefs didn't care in the second half of that game against New England who the New England Patriots were. They just went out there and tried to kick their ass, and the Patriots knew after they left Arrowhead Stadium that that was the biggest fight of their life. That was the biggest freaking fight they had to be in to get to a Super Bowl. And it set the tone going forward. And I think that's what this series against the Yankees did. I think it set the tone for what this Royals team is going to try to be moving forward. They're going to be a team that's going to beat your ass. There's going to be a team that's going to battle your ass. They're going to fight with you. They're going to go out there and make every pitch count, every out count, every moment count. And they're never going to give up. And they're always going to be in games. And they don't care who they're playing. They're going to go out there and they're going to challenge you to the fullest extent that they possibly can. And that's the big takeaway from this thing, is that we saw a baseball team that came into the season with zero expectation from anybody, maybe themselves, and then finished the season in a hard-fought, unbelievable series against a Yankee team that everybody predicted to go out there and win it all, including Bob Costas, and they found a way to fight tooth and nail to the last out. And that's what I like most about this team. They didn't cave in. They didn't give up. They didn't wave the white flag. They battled into the last out of that game last night, and they took us on one heck of a ride. And I know people were upset, and I heard from some devastated people last night, some friends, and I'm like, don't be devastated. Look at this as a new beginning. Look at this as, hey, we got our baseball team back. And I think this one is going to have some staying power for one reason and one reason only. Mm-hmm. John Sherman's in charge now. It's not David Glass. And they are going to continue to go out and spend money and make this team a winner. They got that taste of success. And I don't think this ownership group is going to allow the taste of success to escape here in Kansas City. And that's why we should all be excited. It's not like it was in the old days. This is the beginning of what I think is going to be a nice 10-year, 12-year, however many year run with this Kansas City Royals baseball team. We got baseball back last night in Kansas City, and that's how you go into the offseason going, damn, we're back, baby. And you can peacock around because it feels good to play postseason baseball, and it felt good to challenge the Yankees the way that they did for these last four games.
No doubt about it. We'll take your calls a little bit later on. You can lean into me for being the corporate. For being the catalyst for your downfall. I will own that. I will be your punching bag today if you are angry about anything in this season, but you should be happy because baseball is back in Kansas City, and I can't thank the Royals enough for giving us so much content and so much, you know, to watch and to feel this year in baseball. And on the other side, the monkey is off the back of what a successful season this was. And hey, Bob's got something to tell you. You might have a new rival in Kansas City after what we saw last night. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, you're listening. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
All the small things in this season added up to a successful season for the Kansas City Royals. 167 days, I think, until spring training starts.
Is that
starts.
What it is? I think that's what it is. That's basically a baseball season until spring training starts on the 15th. And if you're looking for something to do between now and then, join us for free open play on Fridays at Foaling in October. Every Friday from 2 to 6. Get in early, get Foaling, and just be in before 6 o'clock, and it's free. Plus, they'll have rotating drink specials, seasonal selections for the fall. You know those fall pumpkin beers that everybody loves so much. Have a large group and you need to hold some space, you can make reservations as well at their website, foalingkc.com. On the link, get your foal on and have some fun. Foaling is at 435 and State Line. You're absolutely going to love it, whether it's for a date night, whether it's for your family, whatever the case may be. Get in there and check them out. FoalingKC.com is where you can reserve a lane. Get on out there, foal around, and find out, baby.
And if you've ever wanted to get some frustration out, you can throw a football at some pens as hard as you
absolutely you can. But you know what? Like, I don't think it's a frustrating day. I think it's the beginning of what's going to be fun.
Correct.
And not only baseball here in Kansas City, already. We got a rival now, guys. And that's the biggest thing that I'm going to take away from this. Dusty, you're 37. I'm 47. Mac, you're 15. And in our lifetimes, we've never had a true baseball rival, right? Like our dads and grandpas now will tell us about the Yankees rivalry from the 70s, mm-hmm. right? Not many people really truly remember the Yankee rivalry in the 70s. And then for 40 years, we've been in this American League Central Division where there's literally no appealing team whatsoever, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is there any team you really get mad about? Like the White Sox really stink. The Indians or whatever. The Tigers, nah, whatever. The Twins are for sale. You want to buy the Twins, Dusty? You got a couple extra bucks? We go buy a baseball team?
No, I don't.
You don't have that. Mac, you do?
No. You know who's got more money than I do? Haley Welsh and Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan, is he getting paid now?
You know he's going to.
I know. He just got He got some like a reality show.
From a streamer on Kick.
He did. Good for him. Good for him, man. He needs
and you know
that.
Steve will do it. He'll go out there and give him a Rolex and probably $100K in cash and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And here we are struggling to pay bills.
Right, exactly. Right. This guy with one leg on a boat.
So
is
survive
stupid.
A hurricane with one leg and you can be a millionaire.
Yeah, you can be. Hey, who wants to be a millionaire? I do.
Lose
yeah.
your leg, lose your teeth, smoke some cigs, and live on a boat.
Live on a boat, and you too can be a millionaire.
Sounds like a life.
But the rivalry's back, guys. Like we have a rival now. And that's the you know, like when the slide happened in the second base and then the you know, the pillow fight started and you know, all the fat guys lumbered out of the bullpen.
Did you see Brady Singer?
No, I was on the other side of the stadium.
He sprinted out of that bullpen ready to throw a haymaker.
Good for him.
I think so.
Yeah, but nobody ever throws anything in these baseball fights.
Hey, man, I like what Vern said last night as I was driving home. Michael Garcia has a lot more patience than I do because if Volpe's out there touching me and keeps shoving me and throws an elbow, man, I'm throwing a hook.
I saw the still picture of that, and Volpe had his forearm like around the neck.
Yeah.
I mean, like
he's a lot braver than I. He's a lot more calm than I am. Now I would get my ass kicked. I'm not gonna lie to you, lover, not a fighter. A lot of big friends that I could run my mouth behind. But look, man.
But the rivalry, either way, is back. And we have a baseball rivalry now. And that's been the biggest thing for me that's been kind of missing. Now, because the Royals stunk for 30 years, too. Let's not forget that. So when you stink, you don't have a real rival. But last night in this series, I think we saw a rivalry develop. I mean, after the game, Jazz Chisholm is pouring the champagne all over himself. And they're booing him, you know, in the clubhouse. They're making a big deal out of it. The stadium, I had a woman in front of me giving the finger the whole night to Jazz Chisholm, to which my daughter thought was hysterical. She goes, look at that woman, give him the finger to this guy. It's great. But that's the other thing that we take away from this. Like when the Royals and Yankees play now going forward, it's going to be nasty. It's going to be ugly. And that's a good thing, man. That's a really good thing. You don't arrive on the scene, from what I've been told over the years by baseball men. All the old baseball men are telling me these stories. Like, when teams start to fight you, that's when you know you've arrived. Look at the 14-15 Royals, right? When did they really arrive? When every mother bleeping team in Major League Baseball was trying to fight them because they were getting under their skin. The Royals got under their skin. They lost the battle last night, but you know what? The war is going on, and we got many years to go out there and dominate and to turn this thing the other direction. But last night was that first kind of battle of that war, and it's going to be good if it continues like this, man. I love the fact that these two teams really do not like each other, and we got a good rivalry back in baseball.
Yeah, it's funny you use the comparison of the 70s because a lot of similarities, right? Yankees-Royals in Kauffman Stadium. You remember you hear about the scene of Patek weeping in the dugout.
Yeah.
Bobby Witt Jr. didn't leave the dugout. It was the last one they were watching the Yankees celebrate on his field.
I ran out of the stadium. I'm not kidding. Like, I ran out of the stadium when... No, not shirtless. I thought about it, though. But I ran out of the stadium when the Patriots beat us in that playoff game, and we were right by the exit and ran out. We were, like, the first car out of the parking lot. Same feeling last night. I didn't want to watch them celebrate last night. I didn't need to see that last night. We lost the game. I don't want to see a bunch of people jump around and celebrate when we're not having fun. So I was at that stadium as fast as I possibly could last night.
Cody, Alex, and I, we were at the game last night in the locker room.
Did you go in the Yankee side and get champagne on you or not?
I didn't want that.
No.
I felt like I was getting baptized by the devil if that was to happen.
Yeah.
But we went out there after everything out of the locker room, and I'm going to play some stuff out of the locker room for you from Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino. But it was tough. Like, we all three wanted to get like a final photo, but we couldn't. It was ruined for us because the Yankees and their family were still out there.
Yeah.
The kids running around the field, having fun, doing their celebratory thing.
Which is cool, you know.
And I felt it.
So,
you know?
So did you leave Kauffman Stadium last night in a good mood?
No.
Okay. Because in 2014, Josh and I walked out of that stadium after Game 7, and we're like, that was awesome, you know, because we hadn't seen that in 29 years.
Yeah.
And we knew the locker room was down, but we were like, man, that was a hell of a run. That was so much fun. Now, losing in Game 7 of the World Series and going all that way is a little bit different, I guess, than the ALDS. But I remember leaving that game in 2014 thinking to myself, by God, we're back, baby. This was a lot of fun. Let's see what can happen next. And it was that night in 2014 where the Royals said, we're winning this whole thing next year. They'll tell you all those stories about it. Like, they're winning this thing next year. And I hope this team has that kind of same approach. Like, we came this far. We're not going home early again.
And this was Bobby Witt Jr. in the locker room after game last night.
It's just motivation. That's where we want to be. And so, just got to keep working. Get better each and every day. And so, I think the best is yet to come for this team. We showed. I don't think we were supposed to be in this situation here, but we were. So it's just we got a special team. So gonna keep riding it out.
How do you summarize just this series?
It's tough. It's not what you want. That's really it. It just kind of feels like you let a lot of people down whenever you do things like this. But it's part of the game. Kind of something that will light a torch in you and leave you a bad taste for the future, because now, for the Kansas City Royals baseball, this is what we want. This is what we're going to do every year. We're in postseason. Now it's how far are we going to go? It's not how we're going to get there. It's how far we're going to go. And so that's what we're going to work for, and that's what we're going to do.
Bobby, what was the...
I hope he doesn't really think he let a lot of people down. I hope that's just athlete speak after a hard-fought series.
I mean, his eyes...
he did not let anybody down.
Yeah, I mean, his eyes were watery and wet. You could tell that it was an emotional thing. And then when asked about what it means to the city...
Yeah, that's the goal. That's now not even the goal. That's reality. That's who we are now, and that's what Royals baseball is. That's just what we're going to keep working for. We're going to keep getting better each and every day and throughout this offseason. And so... just going to be one step at a time, but this team is special, and I just want to say thank you to the fans coming out. And just it was a special year, but like I said, it felt like a letdown, so it was a lot of bad taste in everyone's mouths, and so it's just going to be more motivation for us for the time to come.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, the way he should look at it, but I hope he doesn't feel the burden and the pressure and, like, stress that he feels like he let Royals fans down. Because if you're waking up this morning and you feel let down by what the Royals did, I think you're coming at it from the wrong direction. You should wake up this morning and go, you know what, damn, that sucks. I want to win. But the big picture, and that's how I kind of view sports micro versus macro, right? The micro is, yeah, last night really sucked. This stunk losing that series. But the micro is, oh, my God, we had a team kind of come alive before our eyes. We had an owner come alongside of this organization and give them the resources necessary to go out there and compete. And I was talking to some people over the last 2 days out at the stadium about the Allard Baird years and how he was going, you know, basically trying to compete with major league teams, and they were giving him 5 cents when everybody else had $5 million, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're out of that era of baseball here in Kansas City. We're in an era now where we're going to be as on level of a playing field as we possibly can. We're going to get that support from ownership. And so that's why I think this is an exciting time for Kansas City. And I understand, look, Bobby's caught up in the moment, and I get it. And he played that game, and he played his tail off all season long for us. But there's no letdown at all, Bobby, man. Don't think that at all. You got the beginning of what we all think is going to be a great run for you here in Kansas City. And I'm excited to watch you move forward, man. You brought a lot of joy to a lot of people this year because you guys played good baseball. Don't feel like you let anybody down. And if you feel like you're let down this morning, rethink that process, because Bobby Witt and the Royals didn't let anybody down. They brought us all up this year.
Vinny Pasquantino on how it feels after losing to the Yankees and being out of the playoffs.
We did what we could. It wasn't enough. I don't think anybody in this room is satisfied. But, you know, we got to this point. It sucks that we're not continuing. But, I mean, yeah, I think, you know, this team is full of pretty good composure. So we're not going to, I mean, it doesn't matter. We're going to, because there is no more of this team. So it just sucks. But, yeah, I mean, you guys have seen it. It's a good group of guys. And, yeah, it just sucks.
Isabel's drive to right. How close was this thing to being tied?
It's pretty close. I don't know if he's spoken yet or not, but you know, I thought it was a homer. Didn't have enough, but that's the nature of this beast, right? If people want to blame the stadium, the scores yesterday would have been higher. Like, they would have had a few. We would have had it. So it was a good swing. He was out. It wasn't enough. But that, you know, it happens. It sucks that it happened, but we didn't do enough offensively. And, I mean, it just sucks.
And he's right. They didn't do enough offensively. I mean, and we've got all offseason to talk about how they need to go out and get a bat. I don't think anybody's looking around going, yeah, you know, they're fine offensively. You know, no, they need another bat in that lineup. There's no question about that. And you wonder, too, if Vinny didn't get hurt, how good he would have been in the postseason, right? I think we kind of lost that. And that really stinks as well when you lose a key player like that. Because, look, as we know, this dude is not 100%, but went out there and busted his ass and gutted it out and, you know, came up with a big hit last night. And you wonder if Vinny was healthy going into the postseason, how much better they could have been offensively, because it was an already offensively challenged lineup, right? And then you take that bat out of it and it shrinks a little bit more. I was listening to our sister station yesterday and they're like, the Royals just have two hitters, just pitch around them and you'll be fine. And they weren't wrong by that. It was Witt and Salvi that they were talking about, obviously, as the two legit hitters in that lineup for the Royals. And so you pitch around them, and if they get beat by, you know, everybody else, and you get beat by everybody else. So, you know, they understand where they are. And the ballpark thing is interesting, because as it was Isbell's home run that died out there, and then MJ had a home run that kind of died out there as well, right? And I received a text from somebody in one of the front offices of Major League Baseball, and they go, when we plan and game plan for Kauffman Stadium in October, we plan on that wind blowing in and taking about 7 to 9 feet off of balls that are hit out to right field, because that's the way the wind works out there. And that's kind of the way it was last night. If it wasn't that windy, if it was July, those are home runs at Kauffman Stadium. And those are game-changing home runs at Kauffman Stadium. But they say it's about a 7 to 9 foot drop when that wind swirls out there in October. And then we saw those two balls kind of die on the warning track last night. And you think to yourself, damn, if that wind wasn't swirling and blowing in, those two balls would have been gone and the Royals would have been going back for game five.
No doubt. And I think that, you know, Vinny's right. You can talk about the stadium and the depth and all that sort of thing, but I think there's inside of that, inside of those quotes, is both he and Bobby, and you say, let people down, and, you know, people can be negative Nancy's all they want and say, oh, Bobby didn't show up in the playoffs. It's his first attempt.
It was his first attempt. Patrick Mahomes didn't show up in the first half against the New England Patriots either.
And, I mean, I had, you know, guys in the text group, and, you know, it's like, you know, do we put Bobby Wood Jr. in the same category as Aaron Judge in the postseason? I said, absolutely not. This was Bobby Wood Jr.'s first crack at the postseason.
Aaron Judge has had many postseason failures.
Bobby Wood Jr. was essentially the reason that you won that series against Baltimore.
Yeah,
he kind of disappeared a little bit in the Yankee series, but got a hit last night. Mm-hmm. You know, didn't steal. I know a lot of people are mad about that. You can get into the analytics and the stats of baseball, but I think the thing that you take away the most from this season, at least from what I took away, is that this team gave you a reason to believe that baseball is back and that this is the team moving forward. You're going to see accusations in the offseason, and if you don't think that you will, I tell yourself, go back and look at this past offseason. Lugo, Waka, Bobby Witt Jr. got a contract extension. Yeah. Look at the trade deadline. Lucas Irsig was one of the greatest trade deadline accusations that this team has made
in
the history of the
franchise.
They're probably
not in the playoffs if they don't trade for Lucas Irsig.
No, guaranteed.
They're not in the playoffs if they don't go out and get Lucas Irsig. And I will say this, brilliant move by Q to put him in that situation when he did. And we talked about it yesterday on the show. We said you bring an Irsig in early if you're in that type of situation. And that's what they did, and Irsig got out of it. And that was a brilliant move, I thought, by Mac Quatrero to bring him in, because people will say, well, what about the ninth inning? Well, if you don't get through the fifth, you ain't getting to the ninth. So you got to bring your best pitcher in the most important situation. And I think Mac Quatrero did that last night. I thought we saw a lot of good managerial moves from Mac Quatrero in this. And I'll be honest with you, Dusty, listening to his post-game press conference drive at home, he don't have time for reporters' nonsense. There was a couple of questions that were asked in that press conference, and I know you and I could sit here and make fun of these questions all we want, but at one point, like Matt was just disgusted with some of these questions that were being asked last night. And I don't blame him. I mean, you just got your teeth kicked in, and people are asking some bizarro questions. And I love the way that he handled the post-game press conference. I love the way that he handled this team. I love the fact that you could tell he was pissed after that game last night, and that's going to drive him as well, because a lot of times you don't see emotion and things like that from people in baseball. They do it day to day. Q showed emotion last night. Bobby, Vinny, all these guys showed that emotion that you want to see, you know, going forward with this organization. So I look at last night and I go, yeah, small loss, but big picture speaking, this thing's moving in the right direction. And you're right, Dusty. They spent money this offseason. Do you really think they're going to sit back and kick their heels up and go, okay, we're good, we made the wild card round or whatever the case may be? No. Now they looked at it. They got the taste of success. Remember your first taste of success, Dusty? Yeah. Remember that first time you had that sweet nectar? I need more of this. That's where the Royals are right now. Winning is addictive. And I think when you have the funds to fund your addiction like winning is right now, it gets better and better and better. And I think that's the way John Sherman and the ownership group and Eric Stonestreet and Patrick Mahomes are going to write checks, and we're going to get better players in here and continue to move this thing forward. Let's go.
Yep.
Well, just on your point with Q, I was listening to that too, Bob. Super bizarre questions, but
we have that audio? Somebody asked a question, Q's like, what?
Yeah, he's literally like, what are you talking? Just taken aback. But the thing that I took from Q's press conference mainly on the drive home was he was pissed, like you said, emotional, but specifically for the team.
Yeah.
He was pissed for his guys, and he kept bringing that up, like how great those guys are and how much work they put in and the passion in that locker room and that ball club. And I just thought, okay, the camaraderie, the chemistry, the culture has been set for the future of this team.
Yeah, and ultimately that's the way you should view it, right? It's not about you. And I think that's how Ned was until Ned won the world championship. Then it became a lot about Ned, right? Mm-hmm. It was all about me doing the farewell tour and all that, which is great, fine, whatever. But Q last night understood that this is a player's game. Players play the game, and it's all about them. Without the players, the manager in a regular season is giving you maybe 10 games a year where they make a difference, and they make a difference in the postseason. I thought he was really good in the postseason, but he understands this is a player's game. It's all about the players, and when you have the players, you have a chance to win.
I think the other thing that's important about this is that next year we'll have the 10-year anniversary of the 2015 team,
and we should celebrate the hell out of it.
And then that's it.
Yeah.
And because this is your team now moving forward.
Yeah.
The 14 year was celebrated this year.
Right.
The 15 year will be celebrated next year.
Absolutely.
Because we already got a spoiler alert from Haas, who joined us earlier this year. He's like, yeah, we'll do it again next year.
Right.
And then now moving forward, this is now your Royals team. This is now the team, like the 14-15 team. It was fun. It's been a decade. And this team gave you promise that that team can be moved on from. And now you can put your faith and your trust in this team, because I can guarantee you they will add something in the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
A bat, an arm. I very much think this is going to be a bad taste to take to taste, but Michael Wacha is probably gone.
Well,
he can pick up an option for $60 million. I listen to Vern. I agree. I encourage him to go test the market.
Oh, absolutely. Why wouldn't you?
I mean,
right?
Absolutely.
I encourage you to test the market.
Right.
I encourage everybody to test the market.
Yeah, well, nobody's calling me yet. I'll let you know ahead of time, and then you can give me some advice.
I will, yeah.
But no one's calling Dusty Likens yet. But
when somebody calls, you got to listen. Like, all these folks that think, he should just stay here. No, he's got a family to take care of. You got to listen, and maybe he gets more money out of the Royals, or maybe he says, you know what? I really like it here. I want to sign an extension. Give me some cash and I'll stay here in Kansas City. But I mean, he was a huge addition, this offseason for the Royals. And I think what's different, this is going to be the first time that truly any of us are celebrating an anniversary of a Royals championship when we have a good team on the field as well. You think back to, 85 and then 95, it was the 10-year anniversary. That was, a strike shortened season at the beginning of the year anyway. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much celebration went into that. And then I was around obviously for the 20-year celebration in 2015, and I remember them doing it, and we were all sitting there going, God, this team hasn't been good in 20 years. Like, you had that feeling, and then they celebrate, like the 25th anniversary. You're like, oh my God, we're still doing this. Like, come on. And even George Brett to the point, like, I'm tired of 85. Right.
Yeah.
So we're going to be celebrating 2015 next year, the 10-year anniversary of the last World Series championship. But we're going to look back and go, yeah, but we were in the playoffs last year, and we're above 500 this year, and we're already challenging for the division and all this kind of stuff. And it's going to be a celebration plus an appreciation of having winning baseball in Kansas City, and we've never done that before here in KC.
No. We've done a lot of looking back. When we come back on the other side, we'll look to the future and look forward to next year. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
It's a new day. It's a Friday. It's a great Friday. Here on 96.5 The Fan. You want to tell the people what they can do on a fun Friday there,
well,
Matt?
There's a lot you can do on a fun Friday, right? You can go full around and find out. FullingKC.com. Free fulling every Friday in October from 2 to 6. So get in there early and get your full on. You can reserve a lane at FullingKC.com. I also want to take this opportunity to wish my wife the best of luck as she's going to run the Chicago Marathon this weekend. And
Heck yes.
I'm hoping this is her last marathon because, boy, the grueling, the training and all this kind of stuff that goes in, but it's such a reward for me. The proudest I think I've ever been in my life at a sporting event was watching my wife finish her first marathon in Chicago and her cross the finish line. I still have the picture on my ex, formerly Twitter page, on the top. It was just an awesome experience to see her do that, because there's no chance in hell that I'm doing something like that. I get friends of mine all the time, you should run a marathon. I'm like, I'm going to run about, a 5K or 10K. I got nothing left to prove to anybody. But my wife is going to do that this weekend. And so love you, Jen, and go out there. And if you win the Chicago Marathon, I'll buy you a cheeseburger.
Oh,
you think she can win?
Do you want me to be honest?
Yeah.
No.
No, I don't think she can. No. But, I mean, my God. I mean, this is her third marathon,
wow,
dude. Like, I mean,
that's amazing.
It's insane.
One thing I've noticed when you do those type of things, there's always that one guy.
Yeah.
Like when I did a 5K, I think it was a Thanksgiving 5K around Bass Pro a couple of years ago in Independence, and there was those guys.
Yeah.
That, show up, they're, stretching.
Oh, God, yeah.
They're trying to set, a record.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, I'm not competing with that.
You're just there to work off the stuffing or beer before you go to Thanksgiving dinner.
I'm just there to power walk half of it and then finish strong with a solid jug afterwards.
I mean,
I'm not there to turn heads.
However you do it, though, I mean, 26 miles is excruciating.
That's brutal.
It's funny to watch, though, because it's people from all walks of life that you're like, how is that person
no
doing
pun
it?
Intended.
Right. Like, there's some people that are walking, there's some people that are sprinting, there's some people in costume. I mean, it's wild. And so I'm really proud of her. And I got to say that because it's one of the hardest things you could probably ever do.
So you get the house to yourself this weekend?
Yeah. So I was going to go with her. And then she's just like, you know what? Everything kind of fell apart. The kids are at that age where they got social events we got to take care of, okay? And all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. So she's going to fly up tomorrow, sleep, run the marathon, fly back after the marathon. Real quick trip up to
That'll be an easy flight home. I'm passing the hell out on the flight home.
Oh, God,
legs
yes.
full of jelly and everything like that.
Yeah, so I just want to wish her luck, man. It's going
to
be awesome.
I think Illinois, it's legal to partake.
Yes.
So you can definitely, right, on my flight, there's a little gummy bear, there's the flight. All right, everybody, please put your seatbelts on.
The New York Marathon, there was a lot of people partaking during the marathon, which I got to say, man, get your mind out of it because it's mind over matter, right? Do whatever you got to do to convince your mind that you're going to be okay. And it's a great way to see a city because you run through every neighborhood and whatnot. And I'm like, yeah, I'd like to do that. You see all these great neighborhoods. And
that's cool.
No, I don't think I want to do that. I don't want to run 26 miles.
I think if I did the marathon, I would raise your cheeseburger to go get me a deep dish pizza.
Yeah.
I would probably at that point be able to eat two slices.
Two,
normally it's a one and done with Chicago style pizza, Illuminati's shout out, great pizza. But I think it'd be a maybe a two slice day and I'm out.
Yeah. That's a lot for that deep dish stuff.
But I mean, you just ran 26 miles.
Yeah,
I mean, you
exactly
have nothing
right.
in your body.
How many calories do you think you burn running 26.2 miles? Because it's not as many as you think.
No, but it's active calories that count when you do that. Because according to my Apple Watch or whatever, when I do my walks and yugs, it's always that kind of
about 100 calories a mile is essentially
that's what I was thinking.
Kind of where you go.
So
right?
2,600
calories. That's a day of food.
That's not a lot.
Wow. I mean, so that's why Dick Vermeil always used to say, you can't outrun your fork, and it's true because if you're trying to run, you still got to eat the right way because you eat one of those 100 calorie ice cream bars and you're like, I got to run a mile to burn that thing off, or 100 calorie snack pack.
What do you think is the most important thing the Royals should do to add to this roster next year?
I got a couple of things, and some of them are going to kind of be unpopular, but the number one thing for me is I would trade Brady Singer. I think he's a valuable trade piece, and I think you have pitching right now in this organization, right? I'm going to also say one of the other things, this my number two thing, is re-sign Michael Wacha, right? Sit down with him, get a long-term extension here that's going to able him to finish his career here in Kansas City. So you got Waka, you got Lugo, you got Reagans. That's a hell of a threesome, right? That's a great threesome to go into a season with. Daniel Lynch, maybe he gets another opportunity in the starting rotation. I don't know, but I think you can go out and get, you know, a 4 and a 5 out there. Maybe Alec Marsh gets the opportunity again to start. I thought he was good in spurts last year, a good learning year. Now he can parlay that into maybe being your number 4 player. But I think the only way, not the only way, but one of the only ways you can get better in baseball is to trade good players. Like, you don't get better by trading. Who is that guy that pitched against the Yankees that we heard Vern talk about yesterday? Alberto Callaspo, or
definitely not him.
No, who was that? Remember that guy that pitched? Oh God. Arthur McGillicuddy. What the hell was that guy's name?
For who?
For the Royals. Pitched one game against the Yankees this year and then got hurt. Altavilla.
Daniel
Altavilla, right?
Yeah, that
Alta Vista or whatever his name is, right? That guy. Like, you know, you're not gonna build your team up by trading that guy, right? Mm-hmm. You're not gonna get good guys back in return by trading Daniel Alta Vista to anybody. So you've got to make a move that is going to, I don't want to say hurt, but you got to give some value up. And I think Brady Singer, you know, pitching one batter in the entire postseason
to the MVP,
right?
Striking him out.
I think he's a very expendable part, and I think he can bring you some good trade pieces back. Not as much as Zach Greinke, who threw a hell of a first pitch last night. But a similar type trade. I'd re-sign Waka. I'd find another bat, whether it's via the trade or free agency, because you do need another bat on this team. And then I'd move the fences in 10 feet.
You do have a bat right now in your minor league system. And Jack Caglione.
But do you really want to rely on a guy to be in your lineup next year?
I'm just saying that that's part of the future.
Could be, yeah.
But he's destroying Fall League right now. Which, I mean, I don't know what that means to a lot of the average fan, but I know that that's a glimmer of hope.
It definitely is.
Is he destroying?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
That's where I fell in love with Nicky Lopez to begin with, was the Fall League, watching him go down there and destroy. And I remember watching him going, and because some are sicker than others, Saturday nights in October, I was watching the Arizona Fall League on MLB Network. But you do some damage down there. That's a good thing. But I'd still, like, Jack Caglione, I still think is not a guy. All right, you're the number 4 hitter right now. Like, I still think you need to go out and add a veteran bat, whether that be free agency, whether that be via trade. We saw this year that, there's not a lot of bats in this lineup right now. And Salvi's going to be a year older, too. That bro's going to be 35 years old next year. And he kind of slowed down towards the end of the season. So you've got to go out there and always think about the future moving forward. And I think a bat is a big, big, big need.
Good question for you all is, who plays longer, Salvador Perez or Travis Kelce for a Kansas City sports team?
I think Salvi does.
Now, he does have next year under contract.
Right.
And then the following year is a mutual team player option where they have a conversation in the offseason and say, hey, here's the deal.
Right. You want to buy me out?
Or do you want to take a little less and come around for one last year, one last hurrah? Because I thought Ver made a good point. Like, Ichiro Suzuki played for the Mariners his whole career. He's always a Seattle Mariner.
Right.
Even though he went and played for the Marlins, no one considers him a Marlin. Yeah. A lot of people think, like, you know, Ivan Rodriguez, he'll always be a Texas Ranger.
Right.
Got a statue, I'm pretty sure.
Played for Detroit. Yeah.
Played for the Marlins, all those teams. So, I mean, it is a great season.
I don't think Salvi would do that, but you don't know. I mean, if he wants to continue to play. I think next year, though, I think you start to see more of a move to have Freddie Fermin be your quote-unquote everyday catcher.
Sure.
More of Salvi at first base. More of Salvi of designated hitter,
type of DH stuff. The entire year.
Or you could just be the DH the entire
That's
year.
Right.
Now, he may not want to do that. You know, one of those guys that wants to get out there and play, and I understand that, but it's all about preservation. But no, I think we're probably seeing the end of both Travis Kelce and Salvador Perez in the not-too-distant future. And Travis could end up after this season. We were talking about it yesterday with Nate Taylor of The Athletic, and he had mentioned that he believes that we could be seeing the final year of Travis Kelce. And I don't think anybody's going to go, oh, my God, really? Like,
right.
I don't think anybody's shocked about that. I think I would be more shocked today if Salvador Perez came out and said, I'm retiring, versus Travis Kelce coming out and saying, I'm retiring. But I think we get this year of Travis Kelce. And then I think we get next year of Salvador Perez. I think next year could be the last year we see Salvador Perez. So you start to have to think about, okay, we need a bat not just for this year, but moving forward as well.
It's your time to join the show. 913-586-7965. You can lay into me about how I was super wrong, or you can reflect on what you thought about this Royals season. 913-586-7965.
7965. That's the number. Call us up. It's Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.